morning. Is this too loud, or if I start screaming, or glad to be back here? How many of you are between the ages 3 and 39? All right, I'm preaching to you this morning. We'll let the old people listen, but I'm talking to you personally. So if I could sit down with any of you over a meal or over coffee or take you to Chick-fil-A, and I could have a 30-minute conversation with you as a young person, I'm going to kind of do that today from the pulpit. If I could give you one word for your life, this is what I would want to say. So I really hope you'll listen closely. You won't get it. If you're young, you won't understand everything I'm saying. But I want you to listen. Try to listen close. Because what I'm saying is true. What I'm saying is right. And what I'm saying, I've learned in over 60 years of living. I've learned in over 40 years as a Christian. I've learned in raising 6 children. I'm learning in having 9 grandchildren. And I'm learning with a boatload of children at Providence Chapel in Denton. So I want to speak this morning, the Lord helping me, on this subject. A New Year's message to the young people of Grace Life Church. So the text is Ecclesiastes 12:1. So I want you young people, if you're 39 or younger, the reason I include under 40, because you're still in the young years of life. You really are. You're still young, everything being equal. You may live, if you're in your 30s, you may live 3 times longer than you are now, God willing. You could live, you may not have lived half your life, but if you're 25, 20, 15, 12, apart from dying young, which any of you could, our first child died after she was born on the due date. So you don't know, young man, young lady, you don't know how long of a life you have. You could have 5, you could have 10, you could have 41 like Kobe, right? So the reality is, the things I'm going to say are vitally important for every young person to hear, to not tune out, but say, I'm going to listen to this old ugly guy because he knows a little bit that I don't know, and he might can help me. I may need this in a year. I may need it in 5 years. I may need it next summer when I'm being tempted with a bunch of bad kids wanting me to hang out with them and I'm in a crossroads of a decision. So Ecclesiastes 12:1, what does it say? To young people, this is a unique verse because the God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, says something pointedly and personal to those in the days of their youth, right here. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come not, and the years draw near when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Meaning, God is saying to young people, right now, young people, think about me. Realize I'm the big factor in life. And give your heart, your attention, your life to your Creator. now in the days of your youth. Because evil days, hard days of living aren't on you yet. That kind of starts in adulthood. You don't know how easy you have it for whatever hard things it is you have. Maybe the hardest thing you face is wanting to sleep in Saturday and your parents make you get up 7:30 to do some chores. Well, I don't know. I don't know what's hard for you. But hard days are coming in the future for every boy and every girl, every young man, every young woman in here. Hard days, sorrowful days, challenging days. They're coming. And then you will say something like, I don't like this. This is hard. I've had a young person say to me, 2019 was the hardest year of my life. So God says, remember now your Creator while you're young. So, this is a serious call to every young person. Those from single digits into their 30s. These are the days of your youth, meaning the days of your younger years. This is a personal word from God to the young person, to every young person under the sound of my voice. Every young person that owns a Bible, Ecclesiastes 12:1, is calling to them. Hey, read me. Take me seriously. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Who is your Creator, young people? Jesus Christ. Colossians and Hebrews says, He created all things. God created all things through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you are to remember your Creator, Jesus Christ, now in the days of your young life. That's the highest calling life. That's the most important thing in life. That's the most urgent thing in life, is for you personally, savingly, with repentance and faith and surrender, to remember your Creator, Jesus Christ. The days of your youth are a few years, and they are fast years, aren't they, old people? Somebody give me an amen. Are you listening to me too? They're fast years, aren't they? They zoom by like a Corvette on 75 going 90. They fly by. The years of youth rush by. And I remember, I can look at a picture of my oldest now. He's 38. He's much bigger than me. I remember changing his diaper. I remember carrying him on my hip. And I turn around, and it's like a summer that's passed, and he's 38. Really, the days of youth are not really more than 20, 30 years. But listen, young people, for you, they could be 5 years. They could be 10 years. You don't know. I have a friend of mine in Arkansas, kind of a hillbilly country guy. I saw him one day. I said, how are you doing? He said, oh, I'm good, but I might be eat up on the inside. Don't even know it. Some of us, I have a friend who buried his wife 5 months ago of cancer after a 3 or 4 year battle. I spoke at the funeral. Three children. They have three children. None of them are Christians. Six weeks after her funeral, he had a checkup, and he has advanced cancer. He never dreamed the day of the funeral he had cancer. So we don't know. We don't know our life. We don't know what's true of us. We don't know what's growing on the inside of us. We don't know what our future holds. Thank God we don't know the day of our death. Our times and our lives are in His hands, and we can trust Him. But the point is, your days of youth could be 5, 10 years, not 30. What are the days of youth? Early life. The days of early life. Growing days and years. Maturing days and years. Critical years. Vulnerable years. Do you young people know what the meaning of vulnerable is? Think about that. I'll talk about it a little bit here in a moment. These are years of discovering. They're also years where sin creeps in and children and young people can become deceivers, liars, manipulators, cover things up good, try to appear like you're a poster child to your parents and you have an evil heart and you hide your sin well. There are years that we mess up as young people. There are years of curiosity. Only be curious about the good and the wholesome and the pure. Don't even go there when you're curious about what is evil and impure and ungodly on the internet, on social media. Don't go there. It'll wreck your life. It'll destroy your life. These are years of developing and being shaped in your life, your character, and your choices. To become who you were created to be. God made you, young man, young lady. He made you for His glory and for your purpose of His calling, for you to fulfill that calling in your life. God Himself made you just like you are to be His for your good. And if that's true, then the verse tells you, whether you're 4 or 24, what He wants of you now. Remember your Creator now. Remember your Creator now. Here we're at the beginning of 2020. Now, young people are to remember their Creator and to set before their minds and their hearts the Lord Jesus Christ as your focus, as your priority, as your desire, as your life purpose, now in these days, not later. Life is... We've heard it the last days, social media. You've heard people say it everywhere. When a famous person dies, life is precious. That's all they can say about this. They can't face or think about death. My grandson showed me a picture. It wasn't a picture, words. R.I.P. Kobe. And that's a kind emotional sentiment. But then he showed me another one. It said, R.I. Power Kobe. Now just let that sink in a minute. Rest in power, Kobe. Do we know how ungodly that is? Do we know how vain that is? As much as any of us would be grieved for all 9 people on that helicopter to have died, to say something that arrogant about a man who's in eternity, we have to view life truly, not only as precious temporarily, but for eternity. Life is precious. And we, as a 60-plus-year-old man, and you as a 10-year-old, 8-year-old, 5-year-old, 20-year-old, we need Christ more than ever. We have an urgent need of the Lord Jesus Christ to keep our life from self-destruction, from bad choices. So, He wants you now, not later. He calls you now, not later. You can be saved now, not later, if you're not a true Christian. Today, this week, if you will take seriously these words, remember now your Creator, you can be saved and become a true believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ by coming to Him, and this first week of February could be the day that your life is His. Wouldn't that be glorious? The time to know Christ, the time to love Him and serve Him is now when you're young. Don't play with life. Don't gamble and presume with your life. Don't waste any years. One old Christian said, if you want God's mercy and help later in hard times, in later years, then you should love and serve Him in your younger good years. How long will you be young? Not long. So the value and the priority and the urgency of having one shot with your younger years, one shot, living your younger years well and right is so important, far beyond what you comprehend even yet. Think about this. If you're 20, how you're living now, the choices you're making, the standards you have, the priorities you make, what kind of person you are in reading the Word of God and getting it in your heart, the spiritual choices you make or lack thereof, if you're 20, how you're living now and how you live the next 2 or 3 years is going to determine what your life is like. Don't be deceived and don't think you can coast along casual and somehow wake up and be a Paul Washer. Don't tell Him I said that. I'm very serious when I say this. Our life is being shaped now. Your life as a young person is being shaped every day, every week, every month. And it's conforming you, forming you into the young man, the teenager, the adult man, the young woman, the grown woman you will become. You're in the mold right now. Being shaped. What is shaping you? The world or the things of God? So, I have 3 exhortations. I have 3 reminders I want you young people to get this morning. Here they are, then I'm going to give them to you, then I'm going to tell you I gave them to you, and then I'm going to be quiet. 3 exhortations. I'm going to tell you what you have right now. Secondly, what you don't have yet. And third, what you should do. All right? What you have now, what you don't have yet, and what you should do. Number one, some wonderful things you have now. The first is you have God's wonderful providence having controlled your life. What does providence mean? It means, young person, that God ordained your life to be born where you are and when you are, and He placed you where you are, and He's brought the circumstances and the influences and everything in your life to be what He wants for you. He's controlled it all. Yeah, He allowed some hard things, but He wants to use it for good to drive you to Him. But He's so providentially worked to be so good to you. You have, this morning, God's good providence in your life, controlling your life. And the fact that you're here listening to me is proof of God has providentially governed my life and He's giving good to me even today. God's good providence. He planned your life. He created you to be who you are. He maintains your life. You wake up breathing His air, and you wake up with His causing your heart to keep beating. He's controlling all things in your life and for your life. Listen, young man, Mom and Dad aren't controlling your life. Sometimes you feel like it, and you should welcome loving parental oversight. That's a protection that's big. But ultimately, Mom and Dad aren't controlling your life. God is. They can't control your life. You're going to grow up and become who you are, and you're in their boat now, but one day you'll step off into your own boat on the ocean of life, and Mom and Dad are going to see you on your own boat. That's hard. My wife and I were in Columbia, South Carolina. 2 weeks ago, we saw our youngest son graduate from basic training in the Army as a specialist. He graduated with honors. We told him bye. He flew a week ago Friday, to California, to language school for a year. We saw him off, and we realized he's in his boat now. You're going to be sailing in life, young person. And some of you can't wait. But these years right now are vitally important for you to prepare for that, to do it well. Because God Himself is in control. He's working out His plan for your life. Now, you have those around you that love you, and you know that. And you are being kept by God's power and His goodness up to this moment. You, providentially, have a good mind. You have a home. You have provision. All that is God working for your good providentially. Every young person here this morning should be praising God for His goodness to them. When was the last time you praised God out loud on your own by recognizing God has been good to me? So you have God's good providence. The second thing you have is family blessing. And some in here would say, I didn't have family blessing. I didn't have any parents. I had a bad home. I had a bad background. I had bad memories. Guess what? I had no parents. My mom died when I was 2 and my father when I was 8. And a cousin raised me. And I could have grown up bitter because I never had a dad. God kept me from that. And He gave me with a loving cousin who loved me till the day she died. We took her back in, took her into our home when she couldn't live on her own anymore. And God had me do for her what she did for me when I was 2. I could have become bitter of what I didn't have, but no, God, you got to recognize, however difficult things have been in your past, God's been good to you. And some of you have wonderful family blessing. So either way, earthly family or spiritual family or both, you this morning, young people, have family blessing staring you in the face, to your left, to your right, behind you, in front of you. You have family blessing. Think of God's promise to you, those of you with Christian parents. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 20. The righteous walk in their integrity, and blessed are their children after them. That's a good verse. You are blessed as a young person with Christian influence all around you. Parental correction and discipline is God's favor and blessing. When was the last time you got a hard spanking? Don't hold that hand up. When was the last time you got corrected? When was the last time you got caught and you were embarrassed and you had to make things right. When was the last time you did something wrong and your conscience bothered you? You went to mom and dad. Correction and discipline is a big blessing. When I was started driver's ed when I was 14 years old, my football coach was the driver's ed teacher. He'd only say one thing to me the whole time. Tom Linson, it's your right foot that's to be on the brake, not your left. The whole time. Tom Linson, right foot, not left foot. I finally got it. But everything he did was corrective. Why? He wanted me to pass the course. He wanted me to be a good driver. I don't think I ever used my left foot on the brake now. It was all correction, but it was for my benefit. Children, listen. When you're corrected, when you're disciplined, see it as God's love for you. Whom the Lord loves, He corrects and disciplines. Those who are left to themselves never have discipline, never have correction, never have guidance. It's the worst thing that could happen to them. Family blessing. Parental correction and discipline. Some of you know it's hard for you to take discipline and correction. Someone this week pointed out something to me that was faulty regarding something I said. You know what I did? I said to myself, I said, thank you, and I meant it. And I said to myself, this can help me improve. And I went home, I did some self-examination about it. None of us are beyond needing help, are we? And young people, these years of your life, these are years of being shaped and helped by those who love you. Parents, families in the church, pastors, deacons. Vitally, vitally important. Let me hurry on. You are greatly loved as young people, whether that's by your dad or your mom or your church families, Christian brothers and sisters here. You can have the best friends there are within the house of God with believers, children. You're greatly and truly blessed with family here. So those are two things you have. Third thing you have true teaching and sound church life here. You, young people, you could be in a cult this morning. You could be controlled by evil religious people. You could be in false religion. Do you realize, young people, how many children, young people, are born into much worse than what you have? Into total spiritual ignorance, and they're held there, spiritually ignorant, in spiritual darkness. People who don't believe anything, who don't believe in God, and who have no interest in even making their children think about anything that's of spiritual value. You in this room, young people, you are part of a chosen minority, chosen to be among especially blessed young people who are under the sound of the true gospel with true shepherds who are trustworthy and spiritual families around you that have your back, who care for you, who would do anything they needed to do for you if they could when called upon. What else do you have? The rest of your life in front of you. being called by God this morning, remember your Creator. The rest of your life is in front of you. Think about it. Every day is a miniature life. Every day never existed before. You'll never have it again. And it's a miniature life. Your life today and this week is in front of you. And your Creator, Jesus Christ, wants you to perk up and hear Him as never before. So open your eyes and think about this and see how much you've been blessed. Those are some basic things you have. But you know what? There's some things you don't have fully yet. So, exhortation number two, things you don't have. Anybody listening? There's some things you don't have yet. If you're at least in your 30s or under. Number one, mature wisdom. You don't have mature, tested wisdom yet. It's coming. It starts when you put your finger, you put a bobby pin in a light socket, you get shocked. 2 years old, you get wisdom about that thing. I'm not going over there, that'll, or a hot stove. We learn wisdom. And you've been learning wisdom, but you don't have mature wisdom yet. We just don't. You still lack wisdom for how to live out in this world. These are vulnerable years. What does vulnerable mean? It means you are susceptible. You know what susceptible means? Some of you young guys, raise your hand. If you don't have to answer, but do you know what susceptible means? I know, you're a man. Any of you younger guys know what the word susceptible means? All right. It means you're in danger of some things. You're a target. These are vulnerable years for things to affect you and hurt you. And you don't have the wisdom to see it yet. You're not street smart yet. You're not street wise yet. Vulnerable years. You lack life wisdom for how to live. And you must gain that wisdom through the Bible. Through reading it yourself. And learning it and knowing it. I know a 16-year-old girl in New England that has 15 books of the Bible memorized. I never memorized 15 books in my life. As a Christian, young people, you have the Bible in front of you. You own one. Do you read it? Do you treasure it? Do you care about it? You can learn wisdom from the Scriptures, by the Holy Spirit, with your church, from those older than you, for wise choices, because you are susceptible to this world getting you, deceiving you, hurting you and getting damaged and destroyed by sin. Listen. Listen to this statement. You are not as wise as you think you are. Do you realize that? You're not as smart as you think you are. You don't know as much as you think you do. Or at least as you feel like you do. But see, your mind and your knowledge and your thinking is growing, growing, growing. And you're taking in so much and you're learning. And you feel like you're really wise. But let him who thinks he's wise, let him who thinks he's strong, take heed and realize whatever we know, we don't know as we ought to know. So there is wisdom you still lack. Longer life's hard experiences, growing up, facing the things of as you go into out of your teenage years, into your teenage years for those younger, out of the teenage years, in your 20s. Man, the 20s are a monumental years of being shaped with wisdom. and growing. And then you began to be tested by life. The hardest life experiences haven't touched you yet as young people, to the extent they will. So, anybody in here, any of you guys like football at all? Anybody a football fan? Not wrong to admit it. All right. Here's a question for people who know anything about football. Who's tested and mature in the NFL? The highest drafted rookie or Tom Brady? Well, that's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Why? Joe Burrow's outstanding, but he ain't got what Brady's got. Right? What's the difference? Experience, testedness, going through it, living it. And young people, you may be a great rookie. Outstanding, sharp. You're going to be successful. But you ain't Tom Brady in life. You don't have what your parents have. You don't have what older young people have that you look up to that have been down the road longer. You still, and I'm not trying to speak down to you. I'm entreating you to see that you need wisdom that God wants to give you. And you're going to gain it. Think about this. Young Joseph in the Bible. This is an amazing verse. The word of the Lord tested Joseph. Meaning God brought things to pass that God said would be in Joseph's life, and he was tested. Tested by brothers that hated him. Tested by them putting him in the pit, leaving him to die. He was tested when he went into Egypt, falsely accused. Went from the palace to the prison, falsely accused. Sat there a long time. Tested. The Lord Jesus, young people, he was a young man. How long was he tested in the wilderness? Remember? 40 days, 40 nights. Without food and water. Some of you guys that have a big appetite, you'd be crying like a baby about 7 days into that. You'd bail out. Jesus, as a young man, was tested. Severely tested, and he passed the test. Those in the days of their youth don't know yet how to view and handle the hard things that come with life. And you must have experienced wisdom, and that's coming. That's coming to you. So don't think more highly of yourself, your brains, your wisdom, your gifts, what you know. Don't think more highly of yourself than what you really should think. Don't think you're better than others. If you think you're better than others, you're arrogant. You're prideful. You're looking down on others. You will gain wisdom as you learn to walk with Christ year after year. And you live another 10 years, 20, 40. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask the Lord, who gives freely to all. Here's another thing you lack. Not only wisdom, you lack the promise of a certain future long life that had been promised you. You want to live as long, you want to live long and see good days. You want a life that's meaningful. We want that, but we're not promised that at all. We're not promised that our parents will live till we're well into adulthood. One of our pastors, his father is 87, and they have a deep relationship. They've always had a good relationship. And he has never known what it was like to not have a wonderful, positive experience with his father. Other men in our church have had bad ones. I had none. But fact is, you don't have a promise that your mom and dad are going to have a long life, and you don't have a promise of a long life that's certain. You don't. Life is a vapor. You have no idea what your future life will be or how long you'll live. So don't presume on it. Remember now your Creator while you're living, while you're young. Any young person is only safe and secure with Jesus as your shepherd in life. You don't have a knowledge of God's will for the future. Your parents and your pastor do not know what God's will is for you fully. They don't know. We cannot know that or bring about God's will for you. Only Christ can do that. And only as you remember Him and yield to Him and live for Him in the days of your youth will your life be safe and secure and guided well and be protected from life's difficulties. And the foundations you lay right now, choices mainly, choices, good choices, the foundation you lay right now in good choices will determine what you'll be in the future. David was the king he became in a real way, because in his youth, he became a worshiper. And because he was faithful in keeping a few sheep out on the hillside. And because he became a servant, even to brothers that hated him. And he became one equipped to defeat Goliath because he had life experience of first killing a lion and a bear just to protect the sheep. What you become in the next 5, 10, 20 years will be who you are probably the rest of your life. Let me hurry on. If this is true, that you have these things, and some things you don't have yet, and your Creator this morning says, remember me, come to me. Now in the days of your young life, if those things are true, what should you do? I'm almost finished, so stay with me and keep listening. What should you do? Stop. Stop your life. Put it in neutral. And surrender. Young ladies, have you ever stopped in your mind and your thoughts and your conscience and your desires and how you're thinking? Have you ever stopped and said to yourself, I've heard so long God is real. I've heard the truth. I've been convicted. I've been moved by the preaching. I've heard mom and dad say things and share things and encourage me and direct me. But I've never stopped my life and turned to Jesus Christ. Is that you this morning? Young man, it's the same for you. Are you going on presuming on life? Are you going on coasting on the coattails and the beliefs and the convictions of your parents? You're coasting on them, somehow thinking that makes you safe. It does not. You need Christ. Stop. Stop. Surrender for the first time or all over again. Abandon your self-will. Abandon your rebellion. Abandon your being in control. Abandon your resistance. And surrender your heart and your will to your Creator, Jesus Christ. And listen, some of you, the world is real attractive right now. If you know you're attracted to this world, the things of the world, etc., and the world's trying to get you, the world is kind of getting you. Listen to me. God says today, flee this world. You got to live in it, but don't let it get you. It'll destroy you. It'll chew you up and spit you out. You'll be damaged and hurt and confused and guilt-ridden. I've seen so many young people grow up in good churches. They're so used to the truth. They've marinated in it. They've saturated in it. And they've just been now they're immune to the gospel. They got a shot of it, but it's going to keep them from catching it. And they leave out, and they're in this world, and they're not interested anymore. They want to escape it. Young people, this world has nothing to offer you except sin, hurt, damage, unless you become truly street wise by remembering your Creator now, in the days when you're young. Christ calls you. Proverbs 23 says this, "My child, give me your heart." Can you honestly say this morning, "I know and I'm certain and it's real. I have given my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ." Can you say that, young people? If it's a no for you, if you sit there silent and you say to yourself, "I know I hadn't." And what hinders you this new year from saying, "I'm stopping and I'm surrendering, I'm coming"? Luke 18, Jesus said regarding the young, "Let them all come to me." Today, do that. Stop. Surrender. Yield. Come. And trust Him. I want you to memorize this verse, Ecclesiastes 12:1. And I want you to begin thinking about it. I want you to discuss it with your mom or your dad or your spiritual mentor or one of your church leaders or a sister in the church you're close to or a brother you're close to. Discuss this reality if you're in your 30s down to younger. Don't waste one day, 1 hour on this world or on trivial, foolish, worldly pursuits. Be all out for Christ in the days when you're young. There were three young people. I want to encourage you, if you're 30 and younger, to read these three biographies when you can. The Life of Amy Carmichael by Ian Murray. She was a young woman. She left Northern Ireland. She went to be a missionary. I want you to read her life not because of the missionary aspect. I want you to read her life because in the days of her youth, all the days of her youth, she remembered her Creator. William Borden. Read the Borden of Yale. Graduated from Yale University. Young man. Man's man. Championship wrestler. Read his life. Jim Elliot. Read his life. In the days of your youth. I want us to pray right now. Let's bow before the Lord. Shut everything else out. And I want you as a young person to focus on what you know God has spoken to you this morning. Not just all my words, but what has He said to you this morning? I want you to pray that back to the Lord. Pray back unto Him whatever He's spoken to you about. Tell Him. Our gracious Father, our God, our Creator, we do acknowledge that You have said this clearly and directly, personally, to those in the days of their younger years, to remember Your Creator. Lord, speak through this today. Use it in every heart. Bring forth fruit from it. Work by Your Spirit to make it go deep and bear fruit savingly, permanently. Bless Your Word for Your glory and their good. In Jesus' name, Amen.